Welcome to Asphalt Talk, a podcast by and for asphalt professionals. Join our expert hosts as they tackle real industry issues to pave a smoother way for asphalt suppliers and producers. This podcast is sponsored by MAPA, the Missouri Asphalt Pavement Association. Founded to promote quality and accountability, MAPA has been serving the asphalt producers of Missouri since 1990. And now a public service announcement from our sponsor, MayCreate Design. Google Translate doesn't work for web designer to paving company translations. You say hot mix and it thinks you're talking about the latest snack craze. Wouldn't it be nice to work with a designer who knows the difference between binders and bitumen? Work with folks who have been speaking your language for the past 17 years. Visit maycreate.com. That's M-A-Y-E-create.com. Because if you think your website sucks, so does everyone else.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Asphalt Talk. I'm your host, Dale Williams, with the Missouri Asphalt Pavement Association. Today, we're sitting down with Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs and the keynote speaker for the 2024 MAPA Summer Meeting. Mitch, it's great to talk with you today. I think the last time we saw you was in February of 2020 after the Chiefs had just won the Super Bowl. And I look forward to our discussion today. We're going to learn a little bit about yourself and maybe a preview of what our folks can expect at the MAPA Summer Social. So as we get started, I mean, could you just describe what it feels like maybe the first time or every time you step into the booth at Arrowhead Stadium?
It's an awesome question, Dale. In my job, I really have three jobs. And so they're full. The year has become full. And then it just becomes hyper intense with the start of training camp. And now it's gone for 7 months. We've had the shortest off season. We broke our own record a year ago with the shortest off season, so-called off season, in the history of the NFL. So it's just been kind of intense, and it's good. I mean, it's like your association members being busy and getting jobs. But to answer your question, every time feels like the first time, and that is not a trite answer. I tried to train myself to be that way. Just because every day, every time, every game, every week, every circumstance can be totally different than anything that has happened prior, especially when you've got a head coach like Andy Reid and a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. But it's a rejuvenation, if you will, of my mind, body, soul, and spirit, that every game you treat as if there's never been a game before it and there will never be a game after it. And truthfully, I think our guys feel that way in the way they play. I know Mahomes is that way. And so I try to do the same when I broadcast. So I get as nervous for any broadcast as I did the very first time. And I never want to lose that feeling, because if I do, it's probably time to quit.
Yeah. You know, I remember the first time I went to Arrowhead, and the Chiefs were playing the Denver Broncos. This is probably back in the 90s, and just the crowd, the parking lot, the tailgating, it's an experience, you know, I'll never forget. And, you know, I've been to other NFL stadiums, and they pale in comparison to the atmosphere at Arrowhead. It's truly unbelievable.
It's really not, Dale, it's not, I don't think it's equaled anywhere else. There's moments in certain stadia that I've been to, and I've been to all of them, but nothing like the sustained excitement and energy at every time at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. It's every time. And so, yeah, it's an incredible place.
So can you tell us a little bit about how you became the voice of the Chiefs? You know, what were some of the key moments that led to your current role?
Wow, that's a loaded question. Now, I am in the Missouri Broadcasters Hall of Fame, so I can claim the Show Me State, but I grew up on the Kansas-Nebraska border at the 40th parallel line. I remember Coach Reed, 2 weeks into it, and I'll mention this in this talk because I don't think I mentioned it in February. But he came up to me and he said, like, dude, where are you from? Well, I grew up on a farm in Smith County, Kansas, at the 40th parallel line. Now, it's famous for three things. That's what I told Coach. It's famous for, well, it's the center of the 48 states. I'm sorry, Alaska and Hawaii, stand down. But it's the center of the 48 states. Home on the Range was written there. That's a whole other life that I have. We preserved the cabin primarily through our family and now through a 501c3 for 150 years. the famous song that is sung all throughout Missouri and all throughout the world, really. It's the Cowboy National Anthem. And then three, great high school football. You know, I look at awesome high school football programs in the state, whether it's Jeff City down through the years. I'm going to miss some here, so nobody get mad. But like Lamar and what they've done in a small school, they've dominated. Well, that's Smith Center. They've had 15 Division I players out of a town of 2,000 people and 4,500 in the county. But that's where I grew up. Now, you're saying it's a long story because growing up on that farm, I used to ride my bike with my dog to the top of the hill so I could get Camo X and I could listen to the Cardinal games. And I'd take a stick and a rock and play that game out as I was listening to it. But I became fascinated as much with the sound that I was getting and the announcers of the old days of Harry Carey and Jack Buck. And I was a Cardinal fan then. Royals came into existence, so I had to kind of take them on. The A's were terrible when I was a little kid, so I was a Cardinal fan all the way. I loved them. But then I grew up on the farm. You learn how to work hard. And so it was the work ethic. But also, I thought, I love sports. I played sports. I wasn't very good, but I was in a small school, so I did everything. But I also was involved in speech and in competitive speech and debate. And I go, how does all this get put together? And then the imagination and that was growing up on that farm, I drove my parents crazy. But that's how I started in broadcasting. I had a mentor at a local radio station that took me under his wing. I went to K-State. I had 2 degrees, one in journalism and one in business. And then I was going to go to law school. I got accepted to 3 law schools and I clerked for 2 years. And then I thought, nah, I'm not going to do this. I was broadcasting all along. So I decided to launch my career. And I started in a small market, very small market. I covered junior colleges and 35 high schools and sold advertising and got up early and went to bed late and had an understanding wife. And we, kind of just started to grind it out. But I, you know, all the great junior colleges in Missouri, whether it's, you know, State Fair and Moberly, and don't leave anybody out, but would play them and play the other Jayhawk Juco schools and then the high schools. But it was a lot of work, but it was a proving ground. And then I had an opportunity to go to WIBW in Topeka. And that's where I became the voice of the K-State Wildcats, much like Mike Kelly, the voice of the Tigers, who was the voice of the Tigers while I was the voice of the Wildcats. And prior to Mike, you know, John Rooney did it. Then had the opportunity after being turned down by 3 NFL teams and getting to the finalist out of 300 applicants. I made it to the inside 5 and the inside 2 in one instance, Chicago Bears, and didn't get any of those. But in 1994, I got my boyhood dream job, and that was the Kansas City Chiefs. Because when it was football season, I could take you to that farm and show you where I would play these games out in my mind. And my mom made me this stenciled Lenny Dawson jersey, and I won every game. And we played the Chargers, and we played the Raiders, and we played the Broncos. And I could take you to that farm right now and show you this was Denver. Because I said, this looks like Denver. It'll be the Denver Stadium. And now my dog would sometimes be the defense and pull me down by the pant leg. But where all that kind of came together, that this led to the last 31 seasons of being the voice of the Chiefs. And so it's been an eclectic ride, but one that's, I've been very, very blessed. The Lord's blessed me.
Wow. I mean, to think about, you know, a jersey of Lynn Dawson, and you got to share a number of years with him in the booth. So
what? 25 years. I was with him for 25 years. I miss him every day.
I can imagine so.
And for, you know, I was standing next to him doing those early games. And of course, I'd been doing K-State. So I'd been doing high level Division I, but I was sitting there and I'm working with my boyhood hero. And it was a little intimidating at first. And then we hit it off. We hit it off right away. I mean, he was such a classy dude, but we had great conversations. But yes, to work with him, you know, it would have been like working with Jack Buck and I would be doing the Cardinals. It's the way it would have been because it was the team I grew up with and my hero.
Yeah, that's great. You know, earlier this week I was at an event and Ozzie Smith was there. And I, you know, grew up watching the Cardinals. And the very first ball game I went to, this is very interesting, was the 1982 World Series game 2. And, you know, just getting to meet, you know, a hero of mine as a child was just a really neat thing.
Yep.
So I can't imagine working with somebody like that. That'd have to be awesome.
Yeah, I kind of had to get through that, the first part of it, of that, because you don't want to screw it up. And but I had to also win him over. You know, I need to show him my work ethic and the ability to connect with him. You know, I was all of a sudden, I became his Otis Taylor or Mike Garrett. You know, I was in the huddle with him. And once that happened, and we hit it off really quickly, and it was great. I just wish he was alive to see all that's going on now. Because he and Lamar Hunt, I remember, I'll just tell you this, Dale. When Patrick, you know, he apprenticed that first year, and I'll talk about that in July when we get together, because I think it's forgotten. And I might have touched on it in February, but there's things that have happened from February 27th to now that we're going to touch on February 27th, 2020 until now that need to be touched on. And one of it's the way Patrick has blossomed and how he's done it. But I remember in 2018 when he became the starter, and I had a chance to sit down. If people can find it, it's archived, I think, in 65 TPT. But I was in our studio, and I had Patrick on one side and Lenny on the other. And all I did was just got them going in a conversation, and I listened to it. And I thought, man, what a moment, these two guys. And I remember Patrick saying, I'm gonna win a world championship like you did, Lenny. That was the way it ended. And Lenny said, I'm gonna hold you to that, partner. Can you imagine if Lenny would see 3 and 5 years? Anyway, yeah, those Lenny, I miss him every day, Dale.
I can only imagine. Do you have like a most memorable moment or a game you called for the Chief, or an event or a play that stands out to you?
Well, these three Super Bowl, you know, when Damian Williams had the run to immortality in Super Bowl 54, put us up by 11 after trailing by 10, and that 21-point swing, it happened in a span of about 4.5 game minutes. It was crazy. And I might tell the story again on July the 11th when we meet in Kansas City, but I basically couldn't see the play. I had a terrible location for Super Bowl 54, and I saw it. We needed a first down, and we were only up by 4. And if we have to punt it back to the Niners, they get a touchdown, we lose. And I even said it on the air. It's the same thing Patrick said in the huddle. He's like, we got to get one first down here at least. So, but I saw the play break open, but I couldn't see the rest of the play. I'm covered from the play. And I thought, I hope he stays in bounds, because I'm going to call this like he stayed in bounds, because otherwise. And so it just happened that way. That was that moment of that game. The moment in the Super Bowl 57, there's several in that game that come to mind, but was Patrick just writhing in pain, scrambling for the run for the winning field goal. And I don't think any of us know how much pain he was in. If you see the close-up on his face, he is just grimacing and grinding for every yard. And I even alluded to it in Super Bowl 58 when he made a similar run that led to the winning touchdown and winning touchdown in overtime. Was I said he had a sword in his right hand and the ball in his left hand. But that play comes to mind, that and Jerick McKinnon sliding, not scoring in Super Bowl 57, which was one of the greatest, most unselfish plays I've ever seen. Because no one will see, his great-grandchildren will not see Jerick McKinnon scored a touchdown in Super Bowl 57. But he won the game by doing a play that will go down as McKinnon for a gain of 7 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And then Super Bowl 58, there were several again. The 57-yard field goal by Butker, kicking it off the NFL logo, was amazing. I mean, that was just nuts. Patrick scramble. And then, of course, the final play to win it in overtime. And everybody was freaking out because the clock's going down. I'm like, no, we just keep playing. This doesn't end. This is just going to end the fifth quarter. We're going to go to the sixth quarter and be like Miami and Kansas City back at Municipal Stadium in 1971. It might be the longest game, but we're going to win it this time. Those are the moments that are and people will say, hey, which one of the three Super Bowls are your favorite? That's like, which one of my kids are the best? They're all the same.
Yeah.
So I'm just telling you, those are in my soul and forever. And images that I see very frequently in my mind.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, as excited as you are talking about, they were exciting to watch and maybe a little too hard on the blood pressure from time to time. But they are fun. So how do you get ready for a game? I mean, I assume it's days, maybe all week preparing. Can you walk us through a typical day or week leading up to a game?
Dale, to be truthful, it's all year. This league doesn't stop. Now, right now, we're the closest thing, and it just started last week, closest thing to an NFL plant shutdown that we've got. And yet it kind of trickles on. I don't get a complete shutdown. I'm trying to get a couple days off, but when I see all you gals and guys on the 11th of July, it'll be ramping up again. But to be honest, the preparation never stops. Now, it intensifies for that opponent in the 6 days prior to that game. So I keep track. Let's just say the Baltimore Ravens to open the season. We get to open the whole shebang again. When you win the Super Bowl, you get to host that game. That opens up the curtain on this amazing, the best reality show there is on earth right now, and that's the NFL, because it's drama, crazy drama every week, and the popularity is going off the scales. But I will intensify my Ravens. I've got files on them right now. I've been following them all year long. What are the Ravens doing? And the pack, they get King Henry, and so it's a rematch of the AFC Championship game. But then I will intensify in those 6 days. And what I try to do, I'll go to, people are such NFL fans now, you have to go beyond the obvious. Like, they know the basic stuff because they got to win their fantasy league, right? But I want to take you to something. The best thing I can do for you, Dale, is to tell you something, if you're listening to me, that you didn't know, going, I didn't, gosh, I didn't know that. So when you go see, you go to the colleagues the next day at work, or you see some of your members, you're going, hey, did you know? And you may not give me attribution, but you're going to come back to me because you're going, that dude's a source of information. So I've got to dig a little bit deeper. It's like your members and the people that are listening to this, watching it, that are saying, I've got to go a little bit deeper here than what I normally do to get this job. And we need to do this job better than any job we've ever done. So how do we do that? And that's what I try to train myself to do literally every game. But I got to go beyond just the normal stats. You'll get the normal stats. But where's the intriguing story, or where's the intriguing stat that needs to give you, hey, I didn't know about that? Remind me to do this on July the 11th, because there'll be people there that aren't going to listen to this podcast. Remind me, just put it down and remind me, because the new kickoff rule is berserk. Now, let me just give you an example of what I'm talking about, because you ask about the preparation. I am trying to get prepared on how to describe it and explain it to fans who are not thinking about it. But let me give you something to think about. We've been working on this, obviously, this new kickoff rule with our team. And then I went back and looked at the XFL. The rules aren't exactly the same, but they're close. And I've talked to sources and people around the league. It is going to be wild. And it will decide games. And I thought it could be an equalizer for a poor team, but I actually think it could help make us better. Here's why. I really think the average line of scrimmage start, instead of being the 25 for, and last year I think it was the 27 for us, will be about the 32-yard line. Now, here's an example of me prepping for this to tell you something you can go to the water cooler with, or your cousin down the street. Last year, if we got the ball at the 30-yard line or better, we scored 51% of the time. We had 17 touchdowns and 16 field goals. And 10 of the times we didn't score were kneel downs at the end of a half or the end of a game where we had it won. Now, I'm telling you that this new kickoff rule could give us the ball at 5 to 6 more yards on a drive start than we have had in Patrick Mahomes' history. If you do the numbers in the analytics, our numbers go up to score by about 30% in just those 5 yards. So this new rule could be a huge boost for us instead of us driving 75 or 80 or 90 yards, which Patrick has done better than any quarterback in the league, I could prove that to you too, to get the ball at the 32, where now all of a sudden we got to go 68 yards, like it's going to help us big time. So that's when you hear that, you're going, God, man, I got to look at this. Or I'm going to go to the water cooler and tell Cuz that, hey, did you know, blah, blah, blah. And so you're going to come back to me as a source for information. So that's what I try to do, is go a little deeper, because I'm bidding the job every week. Let's just put it. Okay.
That's a neat analogy or explanation of it. I can't wait to see it in action, and I hope your analytics prove to be accurate.
Get ready, partner, because it's going to be nuts. Nobody knows it's coming. It's going to hit like a storm.
That'll be even more exciting. So what's some of the biggest challenges you face as a broadcaster? And, you know, maybe on the flip side, what do you find to be the most rewarding?
Well, let's talk about the challenging first. And there's a macro answer and a micro answer to it. The macro answer is this has not been, in these 31 years, roses and candy canes and cotton candy at the Sedalia at the State Fair. This has been getting gut punched and dealing with a lot of circumstances, not only losing seasons. I went 21 years without a playoff victory. But dealing with personalities that are in roles where you have to be a servant and follow rules, but you know that that person that's in charge maybe isn't necessarily doing the right thing. We went through some tough years where, I mean, what it manifested itself on the field. Andy Reid changed all that. I'm going to get in on all that again on July the 11th, because it needs to be revisited. And there's been so much that have happened since February 27 of 2020. I will get into how Andy Reid has been an effective leader and how it's going to, I think, will impact everybody that's there listening, because every one of your members of MAPPA are going to be able to take some of this and put it to work right away as soon as they leave the conference. Now, but there have just been some unreal challenges where it feels like you're drinking hydrochloric acid before you go to work. And the dream job becomes a nightmare job. I've seen it happen macro-wise, big time. Micro-wise, I'm going to tell you the biggest challenge is, even in this time of success, because, and I'll touch on this too on July 11, but has been dealing with the misconceptions, social media, AI. I'll just give you an example. It was yesterday, and I get a call from one of our lead security people going, are you okay? Because it's out on social media that you just have had a terrible accident. No, right now I'm in Jimmy John's getting a sandwich because I'm in between appointments, but I'm going to be out there in about 10 minutes. You're okay then? Yeah, I'm okay. But it went viral that I had this bad accident. The stuff with Kelce and Taylor Swift, right? It's a ha-ha, but the Swifties now are an army, man, I'm telling you. But it's the AI stuff. And she was on the plane. I'm on shows. I'm on 25 shows a week, Dale. And I'm on a show explaining to somebody in Omaha, Nebraska, that she was not on the plane. Yes, she was. I saw it. No, she was not. She was not on the plane. That was AI created. And so with the success has come nuisances at the least, and at the most kind of damaging in many ways, of trying to deal with the social media misinformation. And that has grown exponentially since 2020 and February the 27th. But macro-wise, it's dealing with the flashpoints. We're going to jump into that because we forget about the Chiefs flashpoints. I'm going to jump into that on July the 11th. We'll talk about some specific ones, because one of my postulates I've learned since then is you handle flashpoints. Because we can let them go. I don't want to deal with it right now. Whether that's, I know we got personnel shortages, you got to find good help, or we get material shortages, or how am I going to get this bid, or what job? And we can let things go, and they grow as tumors in our body, and they can become lethal to a person or lethal to an organization or a company. But you don't stay there. You don't stay in grief. You don't stay in a down mode. You can't. And I'll give us some examples of that. But you also can't stay. You celebrate milestones. It's what we've done with our Super Bowl championships, right? Those parades. And Yeah, we had the tragic ending this year to the Union Station celebration, but those are amazing. That's everybody in the state of Missouri, man. I saw them from Slater to, I don't know, Noel, Missouri, from the Boot Heel to Rockport. I saw them in a parade, hugging, shaking hands. They didn't know anybody. They didn't know each other. I saw, and you celebrate them, but you can't stay there either. And so it's been that way in my career. I've been gut punched, but you can get mired in feeling sorry for yourself, and you can't do that. Or you can think, I'm the smartest guy in the world. Look at me. And you can't do that either. So those are the challenges, both macro and micro, that I face usually throughout my career and really now on a daily basis.
Yeah, I mean, that's AI. I think it's an awesome tool, but in the wrong hands, it's really scary what can happen.
It's super scary. And we're seeing it with cybersecurity. It's super scary. And I don't care if it's MAPPA or it's any one of your, we've seen it in the state of Missouri, where it can become crippling to an organization. And people are using AI, very sophisticated, to get some huge cybersecurity malware situations. It happened to San Francisco 49ers. It happened to the MGM Grand in Vegas. I think it happened to Caesar. And guess what? They used AI to be able to get in the back door to wreak havoc. So yeah, we're in a whole nother realm here, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. So I assume you probably interact with fans some. Do you have a memorable fan interaction or story you'd like to share?
Well, I do a show every Monday night on the network, and we have the largest network now in the National Football League. That's pretty awesome. And we're all over the place. We have affiliates in Hawaii, throughout the country. Lubbock, Texas is big, obviously, with Patrick. But we have a show that runs on the network every Monday night. We have it at a Hy-Vee throughout the metro, and it's called The Chief's Kingdom. And I came up with the term Chief's Kingdom. People go, God, you should have trademarked that. And I thought, yeah, maybe I wouldn't be talking to you right now, probably, or maybe I would. But it wasn't designed for me to get royalties off of it. It was designed for me to what does define the third shift worker at the Clay Como auto plant hugging the farmer from Burlington Junction, Missouri. And that's all the Chief's Kingdom, right? That if that's the or the German fan that loves us now. But those fans come every Monday night. Now there's some interesting ones. Weird Wolf, there's Snowstorm Sandy, there's Poofhead Geek, there's Reed's Redheads, which is a group of redheaded women come to the show. It's kind of fun. There's fake Andy Reid. He shows up, who does a better best impersonation of Andy Reid ever, better than Andy himself in many cases. But it's all those fans. There's a group called the Geeks. Gosh, a guy that calls himself Autograph Geek, KC Warrior. There's all these theme groups that are really kind of fun. But I will tell you, my favorite fans are the kids. And I see them now more and more and more and more. And what I love is you decide, Dale, your favorite team, somewhere between 8 and 10 years old.
I would agree.
And it's empirical evidence. Like they've done the NFL, we've done exhaustive research on it. It's why we go after kids, right? And now so many kids will be with their grandkids going, hey kids, I remember when we won three Super Bowls. And this guy was saying touchdown Kansas City. And I will hear kids, honestly, I'll hear kids playing, and they'll play a pickup game of football or something, and that they don't know I'm around, but they'll say touchdown Kansas City. And I'll go, you know what? My work has been done here. I can move on. But I love the kids. And that's what I love this year about the parade more than the other two, because it was warm, 60 degrees on Valentine's Day. The other two were pretty cold. And kids were getting out of school, and they were coming from everywhere, everywhere, Princeton, Missouri to West Plains. And it was great. And I would see him, I'm in the back of a pickup with KC Wolf at the front of the parade. And I would see strings of kids like 30 yards in front of me, but they would go for like 20 yards. And I go, I got to jump out, because I would go out and just high five all those kids. And these were third graders and fourth graders and fifth graders, and I thought they're having the best day of their lives. And I see it at training camp in St. Joseph. It's my favorite thing about training camp is families and kids, and they just flock there. and it's so cool. So those are my favorite fans, but I also have my other fans that I deal with too, and it's all the geeks and everybody else.
Wow, that's great. I love your interaction with the kids. I think that, you know, when they high five you, they'll probably be telling their grandkids about it someday. You know, from your perspective, what makes the current Chiefs team so special? Any players or aspects of the team you believe are particularly noteworthy?
Yeah, and we're going to do a deep dive into that on July the 11th. That's what I think is going to be fascinating about it, because in those years going up to the 20th, it's really kind of cool because the 27th of February 2020 was a moment of culmination after we won the first Super Bowl. But I'm going to kind of dive into what's happened since then, and I'll just give you kind of a quick overview. It's really all the above. It's what people said, hey, when you take your ACT, your SAT, just fill in all of the above. Well, it didn't work so good because I got like a 7 on my ACT. Wasn't going to get me into West Point. So I joke about it, but it's really kind of all the above. But what's happened is, Dale, it's an undertold story that we'll try to explore in the fact that there is this flow vertically and horizontally of respect, understanding, communication, talking, listening, exchanging ideas that Andy Reid brought to us, but now it's grown into a manifestation of including our key players. Patrick Mahomes, Kelce are wired this way, but a couple of things have happened. We have seen the maturation of Chris Jones into this kind of person. He wasn't that way before. He has become that way, especially in the last 18 months. Then we had dudes like Drew Tranquil, who is an absolute stud. Nick Bolton, M-I-Z, right? Nick fits this category. The 21 draft class of Nick, Creed Humphrey, and Trey Smith. You would hire every one of them for MAPPA, and every one of your, everybody that's listening to this would hire them. You would also work for them because of the remarkable humans they are, as well as the players they are. This has all happened since February of 2020 when we met last. And then the addition of free agents like Drew Tranquil, who you would hire right now to be one of your top leaders in your organization or work for any of your members. Then there's the 22 draft class. Oh my gosh. This is Trent McDuffie, George Karloftis, Brian Cook, Leo Chenal, right down the line, Nazi Johnson. They're 43-0 in the playoffs of the defensive guys. Isaiah Pacheco, offensive guy, but he's in this class. The 21 class that's like CEOs in the making, added with a bunch of other guys that are just like him, that are really good players, but that are amazing humans. And here's what they've got, Dale. They have emotional and mental maturity and toughness. But none of them act like they're the smartest guy in the room. Not one of them. So this is fit together like your kids playing with Lego blocks or you being on a job and having this like, man, this is going awesome. But what can we do better? And that's what we have. And it's really hard right now for maybe the Celtics have it. I don't know. But I'm not sure anybody else in professional sports has what we have, because we've taken something really good with what Andy Reid started and basically up to February 27, 2020, after we won that first Super Bowl, and just built on it with this class of 21 and 22 and the addition of classic free agents like Drew Tranquil or Justin Reid, who's another one. Justin Reid maybe ought to be president of the United States right now. If he ran, he might win. So the point, I'm just telling you, you ask, that's what's happened here. And I want to explore that on July the 11th, because it's things that you don't necessarily readily see playing fantasy football or looking at the stat sheet. It's an amazing dynamic of humans that are together, working together and flowing from a vertical and a horizontal standpoint. It's awesome. It's not perfect, but man, is it awesome. And it's hard to do in this day and age.
Oh, absolutely. You know, especially when you have the success you have, to keep everybody grounded. I know we had Mike Matheny speak one year at our conference, and somebody asked him what percent of his job was baseball. He said about 10%. He said 90%. He said 90% is managing people. And I think that probably gets lost a lot of times is, you know, you take these superstars and getting them to work together. And, you know, maybe that really kind of dovetails into my next question. I don't know, superstar, but who is your most important professional mentor?
There are several. One growing up as a kid to listen to Jack Buck was magical. That's kind of what I was just fascinated by it. But Fred White, who for years was broadcasting K-State, and then he did the Royals. And I'm proud to, there's only three people that are in both the Kansas and the Missouri Broadcasters Hall of Fame. And I say it humbly, I'm one of the three, but Fred's another one of the three. And Fred, and it's because what Fred did, even beyond broadcasting, throughout the state of Missouri, throughout the state of Kansas, throughout the state of Iowa, Nebraska, and other places. But Fred was an incredible mentor of mine. And he would kind of guide me through the pratfalls of this business. And you know, there are young people that want to enter it, and I try to scare them out of it because I want to give them, I want to take them to Marine boot camp. You want to be a Marine? You need to know how, or you're going to go to West Point, you're going to know what beast barracks are going to be like. Because that's kind of the reality. And that's why it gets pared down of who makes it and who doesn't in the business. It's a narrow funnel. But Fred was definitely one of those that I could seek out, or he would come to me and he'd say, hey, what do you think about this? Or, hey, I listened to you about this. Or he'd watch my ESPN basketball games. I remember I did a game at Mizzou. And, God, who were they playing? It might have been OU. It was a huge game, man. The place was just rocking. And there were some things that he's like, man, it was awesome to listen to you. But he said, there's some, what do you think about this one thing? And I loved it, the fact that he would critique me, but he also would reinforce me. He goes, wow, you brought that game even more to life. But he was just such a great mentor. And one of the things I'm going to touch on in July is creating this culture. It's hard to do, but I think we got to strive to do it because I think it's part of our labor issue that we work hard to almost create an academy standpoint, or we go beyond the normal. As one of your companies that are a member of MAPA, to how do we contrive a recruiting infrastructure, which is cool with you explaining to me what's going on now with the program of Build My Future. I love that, man. I love it. But even a company doing it on a micro basis themselves takes a little bit of investment. But think about the Chiefs here. Because one example I will give on July the 11th is we have become curious. We have our antenna out to recruit beyond checking in resumes or LinkedIn or, you know, any Embiid or anything else. No, we take the initiative. Let me give you an example. Isaiah Pacheco. He was a seventh-round pick out of Rutgers, Dale. Seventh-round pick. That's the, he was at the bottom of the bottom. Mm-hmm. Went to Rutgers. They're not that good. It's like, why'd he stay there? This is the – I mean, NIL drives us all crazy. And everybody transfers. I got a whole other presentation. I'm not going to do it on this one, but it's called Free Agent or Footprint. And everybody wants to be a free agent right now in life. All right. Pacheco stayed at Rutgers. Why? Could he go to Penn State? Could he go into Ohio State? But he had two siblings that were murdered 18 months apart, and he was super close to them. And he goes, I had to stay at Rutgers because my family needed me. And there's a short-term play and long-term play. He played the long-term game. We saw that when we were curious and got into his life and like, what makes this cat tick? And maybe he's not the fastest 40 guy, but if you're in the middle of a playoff game and you're going to Buffalo or in a minus 28 wind chill, or you're going to go into the Dragon's Mouth at Baltimore, who do you want with you in that game? And when we discovered and found Isaiah Pacheco, we went beyond a little bit of the obvious to find that cat. And so I think that becomes paramount for us, kind of redoing our thinking. And then creating a culture where people want to stay and want to grow, and you can have them grow and they can have them thrive and they can build a career with any one of your companies that are members of MAPA. That all of a sudden we give them a long-term telescope here this can be a rewarding life. But we have to kind of create that culture. And so that's what the Chiefs have done now. This is what Andy Reid has done for 12 seasons. And it's why we're winning and why we got a shot at winning three in a row. We're going to do a high dive, man. We're going off the high board on July the 11th. They're going right into it. And what's happened since February 27, 2020, that makes this story even more fascinating.
Well, that is that's incredible. Even about Pacheco, you know, the adversity coming through that, it's hard to imagine even showing up for life, much less being a professional football player, dealing with those things in your personal life.
And Dale, let me tell you this. The NIL player, the NFL, it's not really hit the NFL yet, but it will this year. There is no NIL in the NFL. You get paid to play, but if it doesn't go so well, you're like, I'm going to transfer to the Colts. No, that's not in you're who will. And some of these guys have been at four or five schools in 4 or 5 years. I won't say who it is. They can look it up, but we actually give green marks if a guy has stayed at a place. Okay. Think about Schrader at Mizzou. Right, he transferred from Truman. I got it. So maybe that's not a good example. But people who have kind of grinded out and stayed at a place, they could have left, and they stay. Like, no, I'm going to make a footprint here. That becomes a green dot for us when we evaluate a player. Xavier Worthy, our first round draft pick, the kid that's the 4.21 40 guy from Texas, was at Texas for 3 years. Now that green dot. We're going, well, he was at Texas. Come on, he ain't gonna. No, this is the day and age where if somebody comes for 50 grand more, they'll go to Ohio State or Alabama. No, he stayed there. He's wired different. And I met his family. He's from Fresno, but he stayed at UT. That becomes an interesting story, I think. Shamari Connor stayed at Virginia Tech, and he becomes the L'Jarius Sneed replacement a little bit as we go into the 2024 season. But those guys become green dots if they stay, because you know they had to work through tough stuff. Now it's hard to gauge these guys because they're just everywhere every year. And it's not going to be that way in the NFL when they come to a spot. So who's going to – it'll be the first time in their life, really, that it's kind of been that way, because we're seeing the whole thing at high school and recruiting, and I'm just moving around, or middle school, or who's going to baby me on my AAU team and give me the most stuff, right? So it's a dynamic that we look at very closely.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see. You know, maybe stepping away from the sports side, you know, what's something outside of the sports world maybe somebody doesn't know about you?
Well, the Home on the Range cabin would be one. I was in a movie about it, but the song is obviously incredibly famous. It was written by a country surgeon that moved from Indiana to Homestead in north central Kansas. He was running away from five marriages. Higley had a lot going on, but he wrote this poem that was set to music. My great aunt and uncle had no kids, were given a blank check twice to move the cabin. The cabin where he wrote the song is still there today. You can get on 36 Highway, paved by some of your great people. You can jump on at Hannibal and just go all the way across the state, right? You can go through Chillicothe and on your way to St. Joseph and just keep right on going, because this is just north of 36 Highway, 8 miles north as you head toward Nebraska. But it's there. And when you drive in there, you'll see the song come alive. But my family's basically preserved that. My great aunt and uncle were given a blank check twice, Dale, to move it. They said, nope, it's going to stay right here. They didn't have a ton of money, but they knew they did the right thing. And then my dad was a hero because there were all these cousins. There were no kids for my great aunt and uncle. He was one of the many nephews and nieces. Well, a lot of them wanted to sell it. He's like, if they didn't sell it, why are you going to sell it? So he got my great aunt to put it into a living trust, and now it's in a 501c3. We're going to... Maybe somebody will get a paving contract to pave the road into the cabin someday, because we're working on a project. It's about a $2.5 to $3 million project to build an amphitheater on the site. Now, it's in the middle of nowhere. Just imagine to put it into north central Missouri someplace. It's in the middle of nowhere, but that's part of its charm. And the Kansas City Symphony every year does a concert called Symphony in the Flint Hills. Now, this is on the Kansas side, and they do it out in a pasture. And they put up a band shell, and 7,000 people buy tickets in about 10 minutes. It's hard to get a ticket, but you go in the, you're in the middle of a pasture for an awesome night. But the last song they play, Dale, is Home on the Range.
Oh,
And
wow.
It's a weepy moment now. Our goal is to someday have the symphony or part of the symphony play Home on the Range in eyesight of where the song was written in 1872. So that's a part of me and a part of my life. I have a big fundraiser in Smith Center every year. We have a nice 4,400-foot runway, man. We can fly jets and little jets in there. And I'll bring some of our guys from the team in, and we'll have a huge pickleball tournament and golf tournament. We have a Chiefs night, and we just shake it up and get after it. We raise money. But my heart is for small town America too, and somehow tying in urban and rural. And that's what I love about the Chiefs Kingdom, because it does exactly that, maybe more than any other pro franchise, maybe Green Bay's with this. But the point is, I love the Macon, Missouri's, and I love the Albany, Missouri's, and I, you know, Woblo or any of these towns, Coal Camp, but I love rural Missouri. I love rural Kansas, rural Nebraska, rural Iowa. Love it. And if I can bring urban to rural and rural to urban, I love doing that. And we're hopefully going to do that with Home on the Range Cabin.
Awesome. Well, if you love rural Missouri, you should come see my hometown of Luce Creek, Missouri. And people ask where it's at. I tell them it's not far from Frankenstein.
I tell you, that's...
And it's a real town. Look it up. And when you go to Frankenstein, stop by and see me.
I'm guessing you didn't go to Frankenstein for groceries, though. Where'd you go?
No.
Where'd you go for a night out on the town?
Well, Westphalia, Luce Creek, a big night on the town with Jeff City.
Well,
so a town of about 200 is where I grew up. So
you're right with me, brother. We're right in there.
Well, Mitch, as we kind of wrap this up, I've really enjoyed the conversation and really look forward to hearing from you on July 11th. You know, the theme of our meeting is going to be the Chiefs. So we're going to go to Arrowhead Stadium later that afternoon, and you're going to be a great kickoff to the meeting. You got any parting thoughts for our members?
No, just my goal on July the 11th is to make that time be super impactful. You know, we follow the Chiefs as a leisure. It's my job, but you follow it as a leisure. But there's an untold story here, a little told story of why this has happened and how it's happened for a long period of time that pertains to every one of your members who will be in that room. So I guess for those who are listening or watching that will be there, is to train your mind and open your mind, because we're going to dive in to some stuff we kind of touched on this podcast that will impact every company that's there, because this is truly remarkable what's happened here. But it goes way beyond football and way beyond sports. And to win consistently in this league is impossible. We're not setting records where we're on the cusp. Obviously, if we can win 3 straight Super Bowls, that's never been done. But even more than that, this is a league that's built that the best teams draft last, right? You're not supposed to be good for a long period of time. And the Patriots did it for 20 years. We've now done it for 11. And it's hard to do in our division, especially. But when you draft last and you have a salary cap and you can't pay all the good guys and keep them all the time, you got to figure this out. The Chiefs have done it within a culture right now better than anybody. But there's some secret sauce to it that is, again, very practical for anybody that's a member of MAPPA.
Well, awesome. Mitch, I can't wait to hear your talk on the 11th. And I can't wait to hear you call the season and talk about the victory in the next Super Bowl when we have a three-peat.
You got it, buddy. You may have to have me back. If we get a three-peat, you may have to have me back, because it'll be just too crazy if we get that done. And what's your hometown again?
Luce Creek, Missouri.
Luce Creek. And you least expect it, I'll probably text you and I'll say, guess where I'm at right now. Because yeah, I'm telling you, be careful. You can still have your own school, or are you consolidated?
Well, we have a parochial school there, but we do have a public high school in the town of Westphalia.
Okay. So, and is it called Westphalia, or is it?
It's called Fatima High School.
Okay. Fatima. I've heard of Fatima. Yeah. Heck
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And what's the name? It's Fatima. They're not the Tigers like everybody else, are you?
No, they're the Comets.
Comets. Love it. Even better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm into high school nicknames, man. I love them.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to hold you to the three-peat, as Lynn told Patrick. And thank you for the time today, Mitch.
Well, guess what, Dale? We're going to light the fuse for all this on July the 11th. Let's just say that that's, if this is going to be a big, giant Roman candle over the next 7 months, we're going to light that fuse on July 11th at Lowe's in downtown Kansas City.
I can't wait to see you there, and I appreciate the time.
Yes, sir.
I'd just like to say thank you for listening to Asphalt Talk, the podcast by and for asphalt professionals. If you enjoyed listening and learned something, please leave us a review. Your review will help connect with other professionals like yourself so you can keep the conversation going.
1992 called, they want their website back. Stop apologizing for your crappy site and stop working with that company who thinks hot mix is the latest snack craze. Work with folks who have been speaking your language for the past 17 years. And get a website that's not a gigantic pain in the you-know-what to build. Visit maycreate.com, that's maycreate.com, for a free consultation and quote. Because if you think your website sucks, so does everyone else.